Our next line door is Haley.
Haley, this is Bob from RDI. Is Steve available?
He is. Give me one second.
Thanks.
What's up?
So you're back open.
Yeah, back open.
How are things in Oxford?
Well, we lost lots of limbs and trees.
Right.
And, you know, we were known for all our trees and all.
Sure.
Real pretty campus and all. But they got a plan to plant some more, so.
Right, right.
It's just those were old trees. So.
Yeah, you get, there's some certain trees, like I think locusts, some of the trees grow really quick.
Yeah,
and so I'm sure they're probably going to put those in mixed in with the other ones so you get some coverage quick.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they, I had three trees in my yard when I bought my house and had two storms come through, like just wind and rain.
Right.
That took out two of the three of them. And then this last one, you know, I had an inch of ice on those limbs and they seemed to hang in there, and it's
really?
A Bradford pear.
Wow.
Yeah, Bradford pear tree. So.
That's unusual, because that,
yeah.
That's a lot of extra weight.
Yeah, yeah. So, who knows?
Yeah. I'm assuming business is kind of soft still. People are just trying to recover.
It is. Luckily, I had some repairs that I was doing.
Yeah.
And so we're starting to call them, and that's getting them in, you know, and, you know, we got Valentine's coming up, so we may do a little bit then.
Sure. Anything you're in need of?
Not really. I need to pay off all my bills and then start over. You ever get that way?
No, never.
No.
I was born flush.
How about, hey, Daddy.
it was one chance, but it dissolved, I think, probably about 80 years ago.
Yeah.
My grandfather had bought some stock in this company called Haloid. And my grandmother says it didn't do anything for a little while, so my grandmother told him to get rid of it. Well,
yeah.
Haloid became Xerox.
Oh, gosh. Oh,
yeah,
Lord.
I would have been born a millionaire had that
yeah,
happened. But,
yeah.
Yeah, unfortunately, that plan was blown about 80 to 100 years ago.
Yeah, well, it's a good story.
Yeah, it's a great story. I remember my grandfather used to bring it up every once in a while.
I bet he did.
Put it on my grandmother's face every once in a while.
I bet he did.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's funny.
Oh, you remember Haloid, Helen?
yeah, I had a great aunt that she had an opportunity to buy like 1,000 acres down at Kissimmee, Florida.
Uh-huh.
Which, you know, the first theme park was just the regular one that they had.
Right.
But this would have been Animal Kingdom and,
sure.
and the other, anyway.
Oh, I'm sure when Disney bought that property, they paid a fortune for it.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Who knew?
Yeah, the deals that we could have had.
I've single-handedly fucked up the sterling silver business.
Have you?
Oh, yeah, yeah.
What'd you do?
Last Friday, I was talking to a friend of mine, Stu Brandt, in IJO, and I've been telling myself, you buy a little silver, not a lot. I don't play around with serious money. It was only a couple thousand bucks or something.
Yep.
So I said, Stu, I says, well, you want to sell me some silver bars, some 1 ounce silver bars? I said, you know, and he said, sure, I'll give it to you for market price. So I bought them. I paid $115 an ounce for them.
Yeah.
And the next day, the next day it went from that to 85, and then last night it dropped down to 75.
Yeah, it's like 73 this morning.
73 this morning. Yeah. I didn't buy it for a quick change. I still think that the future on silver is going to go to 200. So I'm sure that it'll go back up again. And I don't really, it was only a couple thousand bucks. So it was not, it was chump change, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just so, I can't believe it. It has not hit days like that in a year. And the day, the next day, right after I committed to it, the very next day.
Well, next time when you do that, let me know. Okay.
I can tell you right now, that's the laws of the universe telling me, stay out of the fucking metal business.
Just
don't
know,
do
I've
it.
Had an opportunity to buy a bunch of stuff, but because, you know, I got to get it to a refinery, then the refineries are waiting
don't even want
7 or 14 or whatever days it is.
It's funny because my investment portfolio, where the bigger money is, one's doing 12% and the other one's doing 15%. So I mean, I'm doing well with those. But and that's really solid. But this one here, my brief attempt to take a little lark on something like that. You know, I think because I had some. You know, on the upside of that thing, I have these silver discs that I made for this project I was working on.
Okay.
I paid $5 a piece for them.
Yeah.
And these discs weigh about a third of an ounce each. So, and I got like 50 of those. So, I'm still in good shape on silver overall. It's just the timing was unbelievable. The very next day.
Yeah, they got it figured where they're not going to let us make much on that stuff.
No. But I still believe in it. I still be fine. It just sits in my safe anyway, so it's no big deal.
It's a hedge.
It's just unbelievable, though, how I could do it on the only day that I would hit take a hit like that. The only day in a year is the day
on your 12% or whatever. Are you in, like, Vanguard or one of them? Or?
I'm in a couple of different. One of them, the 12% one, is in a Merrill Lynch portfolio.
Okay.
The other one is in my work one, is one that I've got now. The funniest story. I got to tell you the story. So I didn't even know I had it. I thought that this one thing I had that had, like, $5,000 or $6,000 was the only thing I had through my work. And one day I'm screwing around on my, you know, they had given me a link to stuff where you can, you know, we check in on it and everything through paychecks. And I'm looking at this thing and I'm saying, well, I wonder what the hell this thing is. And I clicked on it and I looked at it and it says, you know, I got, you know, a lot of money in there. And I'm looking at the thing and it says, what the hell is this? And so I do a little bit more exploring on it. And then I called them up and I said, you know, I'm 73 years old. What are my options with this? They said, well, you can take it all out if you want. He says, we'll hold back like 20% for taxes, but we'll give you, you know, it's your money. You can do whatever the hell you want with this. I says, really? And she says, you don't know? I said, no. I completely forgot about this thing. I didn't even realize it was in there.
Yeah.
So I walked in the other room and I said to Ro, I said, you know, we've got this much money here.
Mm-hmm.
And she says, where? And I said, I got it in a retirement account. I didn't even know I had. She says, are you kidding? I says, you know, we're worth twice as much as we thought we were. So I said, I guess so. I said, that was a pleasant surprise. I always had this dream. I was going to find something. You know, I was going to find, like, an old camera that was worth hundreds of thousands of dollars, or I was going to find this or that, or I was going to forget that I misplaced a roll of gold chain or something like that.
Yeah.
Someplace.
Uh-huh.
It never happened, and then all of a sudden this happens. I says, son of a bitch, look at that.
Well, you know, my mother had a store in Yazoo City, Mississippi.
Yeah.
And my little brother had gotten... My dad, we were Rolex dealers in the 70s, and my dad had gotten a two-tone with the diamond on the numbers.
Sure.
And it needed to be sent back to Rolex. And, well, she lost it there at the store. So when she died and I had to try to start cleaning out the store, so I called that little brother. I said, come on up. You can help me clean this store and we'll try to find that watch. Well, sure enough, we found it, and, you know, it's about, what's from the 1970s, so it's like a
15,000 or more.
Yeah.
Watch. And, well, he found it, but that was the last.
You saw it.
He quit after that. I found my watch. I don't need to help anymore. So.
Unbelievable. That's funny. That's funny.
So,
yeah.
Anyway,
just
we
one
ain't
of those things.
Back. Yeah, we ain't even been back in the store.
Right.
She left so much money on the, we could have had a going out of business sale there. And
sure.
She wouldn't do it. She's just, you know.
Stubborn.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, that's what happens. They get, I don't know, you know, it's funny how people get a knee-jerk reaction to something. You know, just not thinking it through, just a knee-jerk reaction. And then their pride is so high that they can't, even after they were exposed to a better thinking on it,
their pride
is so high that they can't adjust. They can't change their mind because, you know, no, I said we were going to do that. You know, it made no sense. I learned that lesson with my kids. I would do things off the, you know, spur of the moment. Can we do this? And I'd say no. Just automatically just say no. And then I learned fairly quickly with my kids when they were fairly young to stop for a second, think about it before you answer. And I would think, and I, you know, I had great learning lessons for the kids. My neighbor across the street one day, they're playing music kind of loud while they're washing cars and everything. And the neighbor was relatively new across the street. And he is screaming at them. They're going to call. He's going to call the cops because it's, you know, the music's too loud. It's, we're across the street. How loud can it be in his house? So I go across the street, and I'm, like, ready to go toe-to-toe with this guy. And I'm I'm screaming at this guy, and he's screaming at me and everything. And I go back to the house. He thinks I'm going to hit him.
Yeah.
He says, you know, and I, you know, I don't ever go to blows. And I mean, to save somebody else, I would get physical. But to save myself, no, I wouldn't do it. So I go back to the house, and my kids are, like, cheering me on. You know, I gave them, you know, what for and everything. And I go in the house for a second there, and I'm still all juiced up because of the, you know, the adrenaline's really running. I come in the house, and I says, oh, my God, what the hell was I thinking? I just showed my kids that this is the right way to do something. And I immediately turned around and walked across the street and knocked on his door again. And I said to him, I says, listen, you know, he thinks I'm ready. Now I'm ready to kill him. I go to the door and I knock on the door and I said, listen, you know, this is not the way I want to be. You're my neighbor across the street. I don't want a relationship like this. This is stupid. It's listen, I'll tell the kids to, you know, to turn the music down. I says, for whatever reason, you know, we got off on the wrong foot with this. This was my first interaction with the guy, really. And I told him, I calmed it down and everything, and I says, no, we're good. I says, listen, I understand. You know, for whatever reason, the music's bothering you, and they don't need to have it that loud. I says, I'm gonna have them turn it down, and you know, because I don't want this kind of relationship with one of my neighbors. Yeah, and I shook his hand, and we walked away, and I came back to the kids, and I says, I am really sorry. Turn that music down a bit. You don't need to have it that loud.
Yeah.
And I said, but I said, this was insane. What I did was stupid.
Yeah.
I said, it didn't need to come to that, but it was easy to do because, you know, this is, and, you know, it made my kids rethink stuff. It already made me rethink stuff, and you just, it's that thing. Once you jump into it and you kind of made that commitment, you're kind of like stuck with it.
Yeah.
And it's like, oh, man, why? That's it's just stupid. Don't do that. You know, so sometimes you got to learn to be the bigger man.
You got to worry about them just pulling a gun on you and just.
Yeah. Yeah, that could have been
possible. Come over and start hollering at me.
Yeah, you never know.
Kill me,
yeah.
You know.
Yeah, I mean, it could have turned into something. And then, you know, it was funny. From then on, every time he sees me outside, he would wave to me, and you know, and you know, we smile, we talk every once in a while. Completely different dynamic than that. Poor guy wound up dying. You know, a few years later, he lost his footing, bringing stuff up and down his basement steps, fell down the steps, hit his head, and died right there on the spot.
Oh,
yeah, sad.
So, about how much snow do y'all get a year?
What's that?
How much snow do y'all get about a year?
Oh, our average in Rochester is 100 inches a year.
Oh, okay.
That's typical. That's the long-term average. The last 2 years, we've been much lower than that. 2 years ago, it was like 47 inches. It was like less than half. And then last year, it was like 63 or 4. But again, it was, you know, way less than normal. This year, we're at, I think, we're probably 80, 90 inches already.
Gosh.
So we're,
are y'all close to one of the Great Lakes?
Oh, yeah. We're right on Lake Ontario. We're just south of Lake Ontario. If you go, if you come from Rochester, you go right out directly to the lake from Rochester, and you cross Lake Ontario, not directly across, but you go more westerly and north. You go right into Toronto.
Okay.
So Toronto is across the lake, but more to the west than directly across. So we get way more snow than Toronto because the winds are predominantly coming out of the west and north. So they don't really get a whole lot of snow.
Okay.
But we don't get as much as like Buffalo does because Buffalo is directly to the east of the end of Lake Ontario or Lake Erie. But they get a lot more snow early in the season than we do. We get it a little bit later. Because Lake Erie is, of the Great Lakes, Lake Erie is very shallow. It's so shallow that it often freezes right over, which is where it is right now. So they don't get lake effect snow. Once the lake freezes, there's no lake effect snow. Where Rochester will still get it because Ontario never freezes over. Yeah, it's kind of interesting. You know, I'm a bit of a meteorology fan, you know. I've studied it. I love clouds. I love looking at weather patterns. I've got my own little weather station in my house.
Yeah.
You know, I love weather. I understand it well. And so lake effect snow is just like the most interesting shit there is. Because it's so unpredictable. You can get like the winds blowing across the lake, Lake Ontario, let's say.
Yeah.
And it's like fingers. It's not like a palm, you know, like where the whole hand is going over it.
Yeah,
so it's not like it all. But you'll get spots where there'll be like two miles wide of a band of snow. And no snow on one side, no snow on the other. So they look like almost like fingers. And it's so weird. It's impossible for them to predict exactly where. Because any little swirl can change the thing. And I've been on the, when I was in road sales, I'd go down along Lake Ontario going towards Watertown down that way. There'd be times where I would drive and there'd be no snow, zero whatsoever. Uh-huh. And then for like a mile or two, total whiteout.
Oh, wow.
And then there'd be no snow again. It's just unbelievable. And it's so crazy that you've probably never been in a whiteout before, but it's maybe the scariest thing you can run into when you're driving.
Yeah.
Because you cannot see a thing. You can't see. It's like you look out every window, and all you see is white.
Wow.
It's paralyzing because you don't know if you're going to go up on somebody's lawn, you're going to go off the street, you're going to run into somebody else. Because naturally, the thing you do is slow down to a crawl. And if you're lucky, you find a snowplow in front of you so you can follow right behind it because you can maybe see the taillights on it when you're right next to it.
Yeah, wow.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Well,
anyway.
How close are y'all to, like, Cleveland?
Cleveland, if I drive to Cleveland, you go right along Lake you go across our state till you get to, Buffalo, and then you go south, and then south 90 goes right into Cleveland. It takes about 2.5 hours or so to get to Cleveland.
Okay, so that's not bad, yeah.
No, it's not far. I mean, I've been to Cleveland a few times on business trips and everything. 2.5 hours is about right, you know, so it's not really long, but it's not like just running down the street either.
Yeah. Well, there's mountain areas up there where you live, or?
Yeah, not.
Okay.
We have hills around the Rochester area. But if you go towards the Finger Lakes area, you got some pretty good size hills that have skiing on them. But if you go east further, you go into the Appalachian Mountains where the Catskills are and stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
They've had Olympic skiing up at in the
Lake
North
Placid.
Country, Lake Placid up that way.
Yeah.
So there is some mountains there. We don't have the Appalachian Mountains where Lake Placid is that go down into Pennsylvania and everything too. Those aren't really high mountains. They're not like out west.
Yeah, okay.
But there's a lot of really well. Obviously, if they had the Olympics there at Lake Placid, they got some pretty serious mountains there. But they're not at all like the Rockies or that way. You know, you get maybe 5,000 to 7,000 feet probably max maybe,
because
they're much older, more rounded off mountains now compared to the West Coast where you've got several 10,000, that's kind of common out that way.
Yeah. Well, I've been to Cooperstown, but those are just hills there.
Yeah. Again, that's what most of upstate New York is like the Coopertown area.
Okay.
A lot of little lakes. Cooperstown is unbelievable. It's such a beautiful little community.
It really is.
It is as picturesque as it gets.
It was like hometown, small town.
Yep.
USA.
Yep.
Red, white, and blue.
Anything you run from like Cooperstown, maybe a little bit more eastly of there, and you go all the way through straight across heading west, you go through our Finger Lakes area, everything looks like that area. It's absolutely gorgeous. Absolutely gorgeous.
Yeah, I would go back to Cooperstown in a heartbeat, even though I've been through the museum and all that.
If you rented a cottage or something like that on one of the Finger Lakes.
Yeah.
The Finger Lakes are beautiful. Canandaigua Lake is one of the bigger Finger Lakes, and there's a lot of celebrities that own property on that lake, on the Finger Lakes. It's kind of like being at Tahoe at probably half the price.
Really? Okay.
So they have these big estates and stuff down there. There's a ton of money on Canandaigua Lake, and it's clean water. You can do boating. You can do anything you want down there. And the prices compared to everyday guys like me, I couldn't afford to buy property on Canandaigua Lake. But if you were just
somebody's ringing in, let me.
All right, we'll talk to you later.
All right, thanks. Nice talking to you. Bye bye.